Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Some say Christians cannot be demon-possessed, but others say they can still be demonically influenced. In any case, a non-believer is fair game for Satan to use, as he did Judas. Today, what really happened during the Last Supper so long ago? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Dr. Lutzer continues his series on slandering Jesus, lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. Our first lie, Judas did Jesus a favor. Turn to John chapter 13 as Satan is about to enter the heart of Judas.
You'll notice in this text, I pointed it out earlier, chapter 13, verse 2, during supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to do this. So the idea was implanted by the devil, but the devil didn't actually enter until he received the morsel. And as soon as he received the morsel, Jesus said, verse 27, what you are going to do, do quickly. See, Satan isn't an honorable guest. He doesn't say, oh, I won't come in until you invite me. No. All that you need to do is to be in his territory, to do his work, to do his bidding, and he'll take more and more and more and more of you without any permission. Now, the statement here of Jesus, what you're going to do, do quickly, has been a theological conundrum for many, many centuries. And this really lies at the heart of some of the books about Judas that say that he should be looked at as a hero, even apart from the spurious fictional Judas document that we mentioned at the beginning of this message. Because you see, it says, well, Jesus told him to go ahead with it, and he became part of the grand scheme of redemption. He became part of that, and so he was helping Jesus to die, and Jesus was supposed to die for the sins of the world. So why are we on his case? Jesus said, whatever you do, do quickly. So I need to comment on that phrase. First of all, let us be clear in saying that Jesus shows that he was in complete control. He knew exactly what was being planned, and he knew the hour at which he should die, and that hour was not in the hands of the Sanhedrin. It was not in the hands of Judas. Ultimately, what Judas is saying to him is, whatever you are planning to do, do it quicker, because Jesus knew that the timing here was critical. But he knew exactly how the events were going to unfold. No man takes my life from me, he says. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. So everything was in the hands of Jesus, as it says in the opening part of the 13th chapter. Even Judas was in the hands of Jesus. Whatever it is, you do quickly. Now, Jesus isn't telling him what to do. We've already learned that the idea had already been planted in his mind. He had already accepted the suggestion of the devil to do it. And so Jesus is simply saying, whatever it is that you've planned to do, just do it faster. Jesus wasn't giving him the suggestion. You say, yeah, but it was part of the scheme of things. It was part of the prophecy. It was inevitable that it happened. Yes, that's true. But now we come to some deep theological waters, which I'm going to simply bring you into like the waters of baptism, and then I shall also bring you out of those waters, okay? Remember this, that even evil people always do the hidden will of God. They don't do the revealed will of God, but they do the hidden will of God. And so in the very same way, if we're going to honor Judas because he betrayed Jesus, we should honor those who nailed Jesus to the cross, because after all, they too were fulfilling prophecy, right? It says that Jesus was offered by the predetermined counsel of God. So let's honor them too. No, you can't go there. Yes, it is true it was predetermined. Yes, it is true that the hidden will of God was accomplished, but at the end of the day, those wicked men are held accountable, and Judas is held accountable too for what he did. And that's the best we can do in the few moments that we have to discuss a very, very deep, difficult doctrine taught on virtually every page of Scripture. So no, Judas was not a hero. No, Judas should not be thought of as doing Jesus a favor. Particularly the Gnostic gospel says that he did him a favor because Jesus could die and then he didn't come back from the dead. We've already covered that. So there you have Judas. And the Bible says that after Satan entered into him, he went immediately out, verse 30, and it was night. Oh, John loves the theme of light and darkness. What he's saying is that when Judas went into the darkness itself outside was symbolic of the darkness within his heart. Both were dark. Well, we've talked about his covetous spirit. We've talked about his heart of evil, and now he has a very determined will. And for this, we have to turn to the 26th chapter of Matthew. If you would turn with me, please, and I'm going to give you time to turn to it so that we can look at the text together. If you still have not had any chills down your back so far, I think you will as we read this passage. Chapter 26 of Matthew, verse 49. And he, having agreed with the authorities that he would kiss the person whom they were looking for, says in verse 49, he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. He made treachery look like loyalty. Jesus said to him, knowing everything, knowing that he had chosen a devil, as he said earlier, "All things present to the Son of God," in an everlasting gesture of love and compassion. Jesus says, friend, not enemy, but friend, do what you've come to do. Jesus again says, whatever is in your heart, do it. So they laid hands on Jesus and they seized him. Well, I told you about his determined will. He's got his money. He loved money. He pilfered out of the common pot. 30 pieces of silver was nothing to sneeze at in the silver market of the day. So you'd think he'd be happy. You know, what's wrong with money? And when you've got it, you're happy, right? Money equals happiness. Oh, really? Chapter 27 of Matthew, verse 3, then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and to the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What's that to us? See to it yourself." And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and went out and hung himself. Well, Judas, enjoy your money. His conscience would not allow him to enjoy the money he had acquired. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody today. You're a lover of money, and you've got the money, but you can't enjoy it because of the way in which you acquired it. Down deep inside, that nagging conscience keeps telling you, look at the way you got this money. It's very interesting that in this text, when it says Judas saw that Jesus was condemned, the Greek word indicates that he probably saw it physically. He saw Jesus being taken and bound and taken to Pilate, and he knew that after that it was a done deal, that Jesus would be crucified. And maybe he didn't know that it was going to turn out that way. Maybe he thought, you know, I could have this silver on the side and not do Jesus too much damage. But now suddenly things are out of his control. Jesus has been condemned. It says in my version, he changed his mind. I remember as a child reading the King James Version, it says he repented. Bad translation. It's not the normal word, metanoia, repentance. It's a different word that means he regretted, he had remorse, he wished he hadn't have done it, he wishes he could have undo what he did, but he knows that that's too late, and he regrets it, but he never really comes to Jesus for forgiveness and cleansing. No. He bears it all alone. Now, he couldn't live with that conscience. And so he did what 25 or 30,000 Americans do every year. He committed suicide. So he had a covetous heart, a deceitful mind, a very determined will, hypocrite through and through, played the part. By the way, young people, teenagers, you're listening to this. Notice it says that when he took the money, he threw it into the temple, and the Greek word would indicate the inner shrine. He threw it where only the priests could retrieve it. So he throws the money there, and they said, oh, you betrayed innocent blood? No skin off our nose. What is that to us? Isn't that amazing? People will get you into sin, and then they don't care if you're hooked. They don't care what the consequences are. They'll introduce you to drugs, and after you fry your mind or overdose on them, they'll say, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. You know, sure, they were our friends as long as they gave us money. Now, you know, let it go. Oh, yeah. Who cares? You betrayed innocent blood? We got our man. What are the great lessons? First of all, no place of honor. No place of honor is a substitute for personal conversion. I have absolutely no doubt today that there are pastors in some of the pulpits of America who are unconverted, though they say wonderful things.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I don't know about you, but the story of Judas gives me chills. In this message, I refer to Jesus at the Last Supper saying, "One of you shall betray me." And to the everlasting credit of the disciples, they asked the question, "Is it I?" That's a question that you and I should be asking ourselves. Could it be that we are deceived? What a story this is. You know, the ministry of Running to Win is intended to help people make it all the way to the finish line. We not only believe in the importance of preaching truth, but also exposing error. That's why we have sermon series like this series entitled Slandering Jesus. Would you consider standing with us with your prayers and your gifts? We're looking for endurance partners, those who stand with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. You want more information? Here's what you do. Go to offerrtw.com. Of course, offerrtw is all one word, offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button and you'll have all the info you need, how you can partner with us. Or if you prefer, you can call us at 1-800-215-5001. I want to tell you that the ministry of Running to Win continues. We are growing. As a matter of fact, we are recently now in the country of Nigeria. It's because of people like you standing with us. Go to offerrtw.com, click on the Endurance Partner button, or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part 3 of Judas Did Jesus a Favor, the first lie in a new series on Slandering Jesus, lies being told about the man who claimed to be the Son of God. Next time, the lessons we can take home from a story of satanic bondage and betrayal. This entire series of messages can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you write or call, ask about Slandering Jesus. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.